The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They grow, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and thrown, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But strive first for the kingdom. Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Right into your eyes. You can look back at me. It's okay. I just want to get a good look at you. Really good look at you. Because in part, my heart's a little bit worried that it might be a while until I see you again. Happens every year. We confirm young people and see him again for a long time. Certainly doesn't happen to all of them. I know some of you will be back. But it happens. And there's a part of my heart that worries about that. I've read your faith statements, and I know that you all have faith. Some of you have faith that can and will move mountains. That doesn't even mean you have big faith, because Jesus says faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. Some of you can, and I think will move mountains. You will change the world with your faith. I know that some of you are struggling. Not so much with having faith, but seeing how it all fits together. This ancient story of our ancient God And this contemporary world with issues like climate change and seemingly unending war and violence, a growing disparity between the rich and the poor, and really, literally, a sea change in thought and understanding in human sexuality. Sea change that has come upon us even in the last 10 years, I would say. And where is God in all of that? Frankly, it's okay. It's okay to wonder. It's okay to question. It's okay to doubt. It's okay to wrestle. And so whether you have faith that will move mountains, or whether you have faith that causes you to wrestle with God and wrestle with questions of your contemporary context, it's okay. Because in all of that, you stand in relationship. You stand in relationship with the one who created you, the one who knows you, the one who loves you, the one who wants you to have what you need in this world, the one who is with you always. I want to say it's good to have a simple faith, a faith handed down to us from our parents, our grandparents. We see this in Paul's writings. His second letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verse 5, Paul writes these words to Timothy. He says, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you." It's good to have that simple faith. It's good to have a faith that is handed to us from our parents and grandparents. But it's also good to wrestle with God, to wrestle with our faith and faith questions, to struggle with God's level of activity or inactivity, depending on how you see it. And sometimes there are just simply more questions than answers. When it comes to God and faith and the church, there are just sometimes more questions than answers. My oldest son said to me once when I was talking to him about his struggle with being involved in the church, he said, "Dad," he said, "I don't think the church could handle my questions." I said to him, "I think you might be surprised. I think people that come to church all the time have the same questions as people who don't. And the church can handle your questions." And so, again, whether it's a simple faith or whether it's a faith that questions and wonders and discerns and wrestles with how God fits into our contemporary world, it's okay. And we see this wrestling in chapter 32 of Genesis when Jacob, after he has stolen his brother's birthright, he ran away. We're told that he ran away and he lived with his uncle Laban for many years. He did that to save his own hide after he cheated his brother. He's been absent from the family. He's been absent from the community. And now it's time for him to return to his brother, to his homeland, to that family where he learned of faith. And that night we're told that he wrestles with God until the dawn breaks. And God blesses him, changing his name from Jacob to Israel, meaning one who wrestles or strives with God. God blesses those who have simple faith, and God blesses those who wrestle with him and his word. So my point again is that you all have faith. And while you're not all in the same place in that faith, and that's okay, it's even good, but here's another reason I wonder when I'll see you again. Because faith is only tested when it's declared, when it's confessed publicly, when it's lived out in ways that have an impact on the world. Impact on the world, that's what Matt was calling the youth group, the high school youth group, before he went off to seminary. Impact. When we stand before others and we say, I believe in Jesus Christ, and we want to follow him, and we want our lives to make a difference in the world, that's when that faith is tested. See, there are forces in this cosmos that do not appreciate faith in God. Forces and powers, both human and powers who do not want God's justice or God's reign to take root in your heart or in the world. And so when you stand and confess your faith, confessing to being and becoming disciples of Jesus Christ, those forces will test and tempt you not to follow through on your promises, to turn away, to take the easy road, to take the way of self-service and self-gratification rather than taking up the cross of Jesus in order to serve others. Some of you wrote about that. In fact, many of you wrote about that in your papers, your faith statements. I asked you how getting a job might impact your faith, and I liked your answers. Many of you said, well, getting a job will help me serve. It'll help me serve those who I meet in my job. It'll give me some money, and I'll be able to help people who are in need or contribute to my church. And that's amazing. That's what we call vocation. I hope that's what getting a job does for you. But I also know that oftentimes when you get a job right after confirmation, because that's typically when you can get a job, it's a job that takes you away from the church. Not so much intentionally, but who gets assigned those Sundays and Wednesday night shifts, the shifts nobody else wants? It's typically the new kid on the block, right? So those commitments that you made in terms of your goals that you wrote about in your papers, those goals to worship, to read the Word, to live among God's faithful people, those things are challenged and tested. This challenge also happens from a human development standpoint. Let's not kid ourselves. At ages 12 to 13, we as human creatures, we begin to form what we call our own identity, our self-identity. And to do that, we have to, at least sometimes, we have to test those things that have been taught to us. We have to test them out to see whether they're really what we believe, to see if they're really worth making our own. And so there are times that we rebel against the things that we've been taught by our parents and by our communities. And faith is one of those things that often gets tested, because if we're going to believe, eventually and inevitably, that belief must become our own. Because there comes a time in every man and every woman's life and faith journey when grandma's faith or dad's faith or Uncle Joe's faith just isn't enough. We have to believe for ourselves. Faith that is publicly professed is also challenged and tested from a spiritual perspective. As Jesus came out of the waters of baptism, the heavens were opened and a dove came down from heaven and alighted on him, we're told, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with him I am pleased." Quite a public pouring out of faith, don't you think? It was then that he was immediately driven into the wilderness and tempted by the devil. He was tempted by the oppositional powers, to the powers of life and goodness, to the powers of love and grace. Our hope lies in the fact that in the face of temptation, Jesus remain faithful. And this brings me to the reason that we confirm your faith in the midst of all the reasons that maybe we wonder about confirming your faith, the reasons that I've just mentioned. And there's one reason and one reason only. And that reason is that God is faithful. That God is faithful. Jesus is faithful. The Holy Spirit is faithful. Whether you're here every Sunday and or Wednesday from here on out, which I hope you are. My hope is that you are, that I see you often, that me and Pastor Zach see you regularly and often. That is our hope, our desire. Because to be honest, this is precisely the place where you are called to be sustained in your faith, whether it's that simple faith or a faith that wrestles. This is the place where you are called to be and promised will be sustained in your faith through the blood, body and the blood of Jesus Christ. So whether you're here every Sunday and or Wednesday, or if you never darken the doors of the church again until after you've breathed your last breath, God is, God will be faithful. And in my mind and in my heart, there is no doubt of that. The God who said to you in baptism, and probably most of you don't remember this, but the God who said to you in baptism, "You are my beloved. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. In you I take delight." What God says to Jesus in baptism, God says to you, "You are my sons. You are my daughter. You are my child forever. This one is faithful always." The one who spoke those words to you that day and the one who has spoken those words to you every day since, whether you've heard it or not, that one is faithful. And herein lies our hope. Herein lies our hope and our promise, not just for this class, but for each one of us gathered here. As a class, I want to point out that as a class, you have gifted the church today. They have really gifted us if our eyes are open to it. The scriptures that you have in front of you today, Jeremiah, Psalm 46, Romans 6, and Matthew 6, the class wrestled with these, with choosing scriptures, and these are the ones that they came up with. And the ones that you've picked, they are superb. And they serve as a foundation for life. For a life of faith. And so I hope that each one of you tucks this bulletin in your Bible and hangs on to those, reads often these four texts that you have in front of you today, because they will become a foundation for your life of faith. Again, whether it's a simple faith or a faith that wrestles and struggles. Jeremiah 29 is a text often chosen for like graduation baccalaureate services, worship services around graduation time. But it's much better for a confirmation service because it's a story of God's people being disciplined by God as they struggle to live out their faith in God. How many of you like to be disciplined? Ooh, no hands? Now you're thinking about it as being disciplined by somebody else. How many of you like to live a disciplined life? I do. I like to live a disciplined life. Don't you guys like to live a disciplined life where you eat well? Put your hand up if you like to eat well, if you like to get enough sleep, if you like to take care of your body and your mind. Yeah. So we don't mind living a disciplined life, but we don't particularly like being disciplined by another. And this is a story of God disciplining God's children when they have wandered off, when they have failed to live into the relationship that God has called them into. And it's good news. God disciplines those whom God loves. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 supports this. It says, "Consider him who endured such hostility against himself," that's Jesus, "who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." He did. "And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as children, 'My child, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord.'" or lose heart when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines those whom he loves and chastises every child he accepts. So this text from Jeremiah teaches us that God will discipline, that, and what that means is that God will help us on our way to keep us on the road to life instead of letting us walk away on the road of death. Psalm 46 is a statement of faith, much like each one of you were asked to write as you were wrapping up your confirmation training. God is our refuge and strength. And Tessa, I'm sorry, I gave Randy this morning the psalm that you were prepared for, and you read Romans. You did an awesome job. Thank you for being so willing to be flexible. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. This is a statement of faith for today. It's a statement of faith for today in the face of things like climate change, in the face of the sea changes in our society. Listen again, therefore, because God is our refuge and strength, therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. Does anything resonate there with you in terms of climate change or other sea changes that are affecting your lives? There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It will not, it shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. Sound anything like the war and the violence that our world is immersed in today? And then comes the invitation. Be still. When the world is coming apart at the seams, or when it's changing at a rate that you struggle to keep up with, the Word of God says, invites us to be still and know that I am God. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. A child of God who will be cared through in and through all of that. Be still and know that I am God. That's not calling you to inaction on behalf of this world. We're called to be good stewards of this world and to make it the best that we can make it, to do that work of preserving creation. But when we've done what we can and can't do anymore, he invites us, the Word invites us, be still and know that I am God. And Romans 6 is a bedrock, is a foundational piece of Scripture that we can bet our lives on. It teaches us that in baptism we belong to God, we belong to Christ, we belong to the church. There will always be a place for you in the church. And because we have died with Christ Jesus in baptism, it says, we will also live with him. This journey for all of you began in the waters of baptism, so that wherever you go, whatever you do, however you live your life, you can be assured that Jesus will be there to help you, that he will be there to guide you. He will be there to forgive you and to restore you and to welcome you home day after day after day. And in Matthew chapter 6, we have a text about setting right priorities for our life and for our faith. Store up for yourselves treasures on earth? No. Store up treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is teaching us the secret to the kingdom of God, that where our heart is, there where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Don't worry about your life, he says. Instead, prioritize and strive for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That word righteousness means his way of being the way the world was meant to be. And then all these things that you need, these things that sometimes we worry about, they will be given to you as well. Discipline that leads to faith and trust that grows out of a relationship called forth through the primordial waters of time that leads through a life of peace, confidence, and action toward a just and right world. These are texts that bless the church, and they are your class's gift to us today. So now you can see why I want to get a good look at you today. I really can't hardly see a darn thing through these glasses right now. You've already been a blessing to me. You've been a blessing to this church. I don't know if you've been told that before. But you've been a blessing to us already. You belong here. And without you, we will be less than God made us to be. The church will be incomplete. It will be less. Matt tried to teach you as well that you are the church of today, not the church of tomorrow. You are the church of today. Your ideas, your questions, your faith, your input matters, your gifts. You are the church of today, not the church of tomorrow. You are the church of today and of tomorrow, I think. And so help us. Help us make the church what God wants it to be. That can only happen by your involvement, by your participation, your willingness to share your rock-solid faith, your questions, your answers, your anxieties, your fears, your hopes, your answers. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm. To give you a future of hope. To give you a future of hope. Let all God's people say, Amen. I didn't hear you. Amen. Amen.